is coming from Daniel, chapter 3, verses 15 through 20, 5. When everybody has it, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your God or worship the image of God you have set up, of gold, excuse me, that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strong soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. For these men wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that were tied up and threw in the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the Son of God. The book of Daniel is pretty much about the prophet of Daniel. But today, we're going to look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were nobles in the land of Judah. They were Israelites. The Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar took over and conquered Judah. And when he conquered Judah and took them in captive, the king had the chiefs of his court officials take the best and brightest young men of the Israelites, of the royal families and nobility, and train them in the language, literature, and ways of the Babylonians. So we already know that God had his hand on those 3.
All right. Yes, sir.
He blessed them from the beginning and gave them knowledge in favor of the Babylonians' literature, culture, and their ways. Out of all the nobility that they captured and brought into the kingdom, they, along with Daniel, were at the top. They refused to eat the king's choice food. They only ate vegetables and drank water. They were the healthiest ones out of all.
Yeah.
And as time passed, Nebuchadnezzar built a golden idol in representation of his God. And he wanted everyone to bow down and worship it, to let everyone know that he was in power. So this is the same thing that we do. The devil can't build an idol for us to worship. He can only take the things that we lust after and help us and persuade us to put those things before God. Then we ourselves create the idol. This right here is a rule book.
Yes, sir.
Just like in football, basketball, there's rules to follow. It's a roadmap to obtain and maintain a relationship and eternal life with God.
Yes.
It guides our path if we follow it and obey it.
Yes, sir.
It's a recipe of ingredients They must be followed, adding each ingredient step by step, one at a time, mixed together in correct proportion. Then it will grow, be nurtured, and become the finished product that we should be. In the book of Job, God asked the devil where he was coming from. The devil said he was going to and fro, up and down.
Yes, sir.
That right there tells us he was looking. Amen. He was walking around aimlessly.
Yes.
No destination, but he knew what he was looking for. Then the Lord gave him permission to take everything Job had, but he couldn't put a hand on Job.
That's right.
It's the same with us. He can't touch us.
Yes.
All he can do is talk to us, persuade us, and put people in our way,
yes,
and obstacles in our way to change us or get us to think differently or act differently than we should act. First, the devil took everything that Job owned. He took his pride of life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Secondly, he took his family, which was the lust of his eyes.
Yes, sir.
Then he took his health, which was his lust of his flesh.
Yes.
This is our problem. We got too much pride.
Mm-hmm.
We brag about the things that we have and what we have done, but we ain't done anything and we don't have anything.
Yes.
Everything belongs to God.
Yes.
He just allowed us to obtain it.
Amen.
For the word said everything was created for him and by him. Not for us. Amen.
Yes.
Proverbs tells us that pride goes before destruction.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So as long as we got pride, we're going to fall.
Yes.
It's just a matter of time.
Amen.
Believe me, I know.
Yes.
We walk around the mall doing our thing. If we see a good-looking man or woman, and we've all done it, we turn all the way around and we watch them walk away. We don't care that they were somebody else. We wait until they're alone and then we try and talk to them. It's wrong. Corinthians tells us to let every man have one wife and every wife one husband. When I was a kid, and I saw one of my siblings with something, I'll never forget, I would go to my grandmother and ask if I could have it, have one. And to my surprise, her answer every time was no. Her reason was, I didn't want it. I just wanted it because somebody else had it. When you're riding down the road and y'all smell that new Popeye's chicken, that flame broil whopper from BK, you keep driving, but it sticks in your mind. You know you don't need it, but it keeps calling your name. You turn around, you go get in line, and you wait for 10 minutes for that food. Your flesh kicks in. It makes you think that you desire it, but you don't. Your mind's playing tricks on you. It's making you think that your flesh wants it. So Paul tells us in Corinthians that he beats his body daily to bring it under subjection. That's what we need to do when things come our way.
That's right.
Everything is not good for us. Though it may look good, it ain't good. If you test it by the Spirit, you'll know whether it's good for you or time for you to have it. Paul tells us that he is in a constant battle daily, every day, with himself. It's not the devil that he's battling with. It's his own weakness. That's what caused us to fall in sin. is our weakness to our flesh, the desires that we have, our lust. That's what gives us those problems. Jesus was tempted in three manners. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The devil didn't take him there. The Spirit of God led him there to be tempted. And each time he was tempted, he didn't give in. He spoke God's word to the situation. And God's word helped him to stand and carried him through it. So what's our excuse for not speaking God's word? Is it that we don't get in God's word to know God's word? The answer is, we want to sin. We like what we're doing, even though we know it's wrong. Sinning causes discomfort. It causes us to be disciplined, to be focused on Christ, and to be strong enough to stand under pressure when we resist it. But we don't want to resist it. We might stand for a little while. If y'all remember one time when I preached about the three little pigs, we built our house out of straw. So as soon as Satan comes, we stand for a little while. But then what happens? Boop, falls over, and we dive right in head first. We want the outcome, but we don't want to do the work. We want God to relieve us immediately so that we can feel better. Because once we sin, we feel bad. But we don't want to have that feeling. So we then go to the book and we repent. We ask for forgiveness. He forgives us 70 times 7. Then what do? We go right back and do the same thing all over again.
Yes, sir.
Reminds me of Bill Cosby and his stand-up comedy himself. He talked about the drunks. You wait all week long, and then when Friday comes, you go get drunk. Get wasted. Next thing you know, you curled up in the bathroom, your head stuck in a place, as he said, where it does not belong. And thank you, Lord. And Lord, if you save me and you help me, I will never do this again. And then what do? When Friday comes, you're back out there again. We don't want to give God 5 minutes of prayer daily. When do we do that? We won't even open our Bibles to read a scripture. 2 minutes. Would you want to help somebody that don't want to help themselves when you've already given them a way out? That's what the Lord does for us over and over and over again. And we ain't figured it out yet. So I'll tell you now, stop saying the devil made me do it. He didn't, and he can't make you do anything. You did it because you wanted to. Because you wanted to follow your flesh. We enjoy those things. But we want the rewards that come with being a Christian. But we don't want to do the work.
Yes, sir.
In verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood their ground when they faced with opposition. Instead of giving in, they responded with, "The God I serve is able to save us and will rescue us."
Yes.
There was no doubt in their faith in what God could do. They knew he could and was able to rescue them. How did they know? Glad you asked. Because he's already done it before. In other situations that they've been in. See, what we don't realize is every test that we're in is a preparation for the next test. And each one is to increase our faith. This is why the Bible says we go from faith to faith and glory to glory. We're not to be stagnant, but to be in constant growth. So as the old people say, as the elders say, it's always something. But you know what? It's always gonna be something. So ain't no need of complaining about it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't complain. They stood up. They stood their ground and said, the God I serve is able.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. Quit complaining. Yeah. Complaining actually makes things worse, and don't nobody want to hear it.
Yeah.
First John tells us that this is our victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. It's not us. It's our faith in Christ that overcomes. That's where we need to put our faith, not in us, not in money, not in a job, not in your spouse, not in your kids. Money and your job is nothing but a resource. God is the source that gave you the job to gain the resource. Your wife can't help you in every situation. Your husband cannot help you in every situation. There's going to be times when you're going to have to put them on the back burner and make sure that you're on your knees asking God what to do.
Yes, sir.
Because he's going to lead you in the right way on that roadmap of life to keep you on the straight and narrow. We just got to listen and follow the recipe. I used to have an issue with the Old Testament. I didn't like it. To me, it was boring. I'm not one of those, as they tell you when you're a kid, you can read a book and you can be anywhere in the world you want to be. I can't do it. Yeah, I'm still sitting right here in the same chair reading these same dull words. But the Old Testament is full of miraculous things that God has done, I've come to realize. The point of the Old Testament is to show us his awesomeness. His love for us. And to show us that he is always with us. There's nowhere in the Old Testament that he didn't help who needed to be helped. He saved them. In every situation, it was different. He showed up in a different way. He did it in a different way. So the way we think he's coming, you can hang it up. He ain't coming that way. I've tried things several times, and he delivered me from the same thing several times, and it was never the same way. I've had people tell me, oh, you've got to do this, and you've got to do that before he's coming. No. All I had to do was get on my knees and pray. And he showed up every time. So when the three were thrown in the furnace, King Nebuchadnezzar looked, and he saw four figures. And he said, one looks like a son of God's, not the son of God, but a son of God's. None did he know. It was the son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He showed up because of the faith that they showed. I'm sure that they prayed while they was in there. They prayed before they went in there. But before they went in, they knew the outcome. They knew that they was coming out because of their faith. And again, as the elders say, he's always on time.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
He showed up in time, on time, to stop them from being consumed by fire that killed the guards that threw them in there on the outside. So you know it was hotter in there. In the midst of darkness, there is light where the Lord's presence is. The Lord was with them in Judah and remained with them in Babylon. Through their faithfulness to him, the Lord continued to bless them. The Lord said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. The key is, are you going to stand and let him work?
Amen.
Or are you going to give in to your own fleshly desires?
Yes, sir.
That's the key. You have to make your own mind up and your own decision. He's not going to make it up for you, and he's not going to push you in any direction. You can't go around it. You can't go over it. You can't go under it. You can't even call the fire department to put the fire out. But until you go through it with him by faith and come out of the fire refined as pure as gold, you will continue to go through the same oppositions. In 1 Peter, Peter says, we go through so that the proven character of our faith, more precious than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So as we go through, it's not for nothing. It's to perfect us, to make us better.
Yeah.
To make us like him, which is how we were created in the beginning. It said that we were created in his likeness. But by Adam and Eve, we lost that relationship. But through Christ our Lord and Savior, he came back to redeem us by the shedding of his blood to bring us back to God. So now we have an advocate on our side. That no matter what we do, we can always go to him.
That's right.
And he will make it right.
Yes, sir. Amen.
For we are always seen as righteous.
Yes.
No matter what you do, God always sees us as righteous through Christ.
Yes.
We talk about the youth today not wanting to take responsibility for their own actions. When are we going to lead by example and take responsibility for our own actions? And quit blaming our lack of good judgment and selfish desires on the devil. And stand up and say, it was me. I did. I was wrong. Lord, forgive me. Help my unbelieving heart. Help me stand faithful and strong. So let us run this race by the rules that he's laid out. Because at the end, there's a crown waiting for us.
Yes.
Not only a crown, a mansion.
Thank you.
Christ left and said he was building a mansion for us.
Yes.
We have a home. We're not from here. We're just passing through.
Yeah. Passing through.
For the word says that we're sitting in heavenly places.
Uh-huh.
Once we're baptized in Christ, we're no longer here.
Yeah.
Our physical body is here. But our spiritual body is in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
So let us not walk by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And we will lead a righteous life.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I've got to say on that today.
I'm not going to use your ending today.
But if there's anyone here who has not given their life to Christ, who has not thought that is a better way, who has not heard the good news that he has come and gave his life that you could have life more abundantly, that everything is in his hands. As the child song that we used to sing growing up, he's got the whole world in his hands. He does. For the earth is his footstool. For all things are his. And you can have them too. If there's anyone If there's no one today, if there's anyone that desires prayer, who is not following the rule book of life, who is not letting the Lord mix you, mold you, and create you into the person that you're supposed to be. Not the person that you want to be, but the person that he has called you to be. For he has placed a calling on each and every one of our lives. And that's where we are to be. We will never find our true self until we walk in that calling. Please stand. For he's here. For his word says, when the two or four gather together in his name, he is in the midst. Gracious Father, all-wise God, the great and mighty one, the one who is, was, always will be. There will never be another. No one can compare to you. The creator of all things. Father, these your people. We have come before you, Father. Each and every one of us have a need. You know the need of each and every one of us, Lord. And each and every one is different. Father, it's not for me to know, the pastor to know, or our friends to know, but only for you to know. Father, only you can touch each and every one of us in the way that we need to be touched. We can give words of encouragement. We can't give what you give. Lord, regardless of the situation, you can give us peace. You can give us hope. You can give us joy. You can give us comfort. For you said that you would never leave us comfortless. And we believe you and we thank you, Lord, for that comfort. Father, we are your humble children, your servants, here to serve you, to serve one another. We were not created for ourselves, for our own selfish desires, but to be there for you and to be there for everyone else. For we are last, and they are first. For Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you let your spirit go into each and every heart that is here today. Those, Lord, that aren't here, for whatever reason it may be, Lord, enter into their heart. Not just our members, Lord, but in every part of your body throughout the world. For we are only a little piece of that body. For your body is a great body. For things can be changed, Lord, by your people coming together.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let us stand in unity and in love, coming together as one, for you are one, that we might serve you in gladness.